Welcome back, listeners. Today, we are diving into a very talked about and important topic in the world of mental health, wellness, and trauma recovery. How the body holds on to trauma. I'm your host, Annie Sousa, and in today's episode, we're going to be exploring how your body remembers experiences, even when your mind forgets. We'll be unpacking the concepts from the famous book, The Body Keeps the Score, and looking at the ways your nervous system, your muscles, and your very cells stores the echoes of past experiences. A quick content note. Today's discussion may touch on sensitive topics related to trauma, past experiences, so please, please, practice self-care. Remember, you can pause, you can come back to this episode at any time, so take your time. Drink water, put your hands under cold water, take care of yourself. So before we begin, let's ground ourselves with a simple exercise. Feel your feet on the floor, notice your breath, and look around the room. Name three things you see. This kind of present moment awareness is a small but powerful tool we'll revisit today. So let's start with a story. Sarah, a person I know, shared with me how every time she heard the sounds of keys jingling late at night, how that would make her heart race. Her breathing would quicken. She would freeze. It wasn't until we talked about it and explored together that she realized that it reminded her of a difficult experience she had as a child. Her body had stored that sound as a signal of danger. Last week, myself, on a personal note, I went to get some coffee, and the person in front of me was upset at the barista. As the argument escalated, his tone, his mannerism, he was getting louder and angrier and more aggressive. My heart started palpitating fast. My shoulders got tense. And I started feeling cold. I just completely started getting scared. These are classic examples of how trauma response lives in the body, how our body stores all of that memory. Even when there's no immediate threat, our nervous system reacts as if there is. So to understand this, we need to talk about something called the polyvagal theory. It may be a little sciencey, but I'm gonna break it down for you. So according to this theory, your nervous system operates through three main states. Ventral vagal state, which is the safety state, which is when you are relaxed, your muscles are relaxed, you're steady breathing, clear thinking, you're engaging, social engagement, your digestion is active. Then the second state is sympathetic state, right? You have fight or flight, increased heart rate, shallow breathing, muscle tensions, cold extremities, digestive shutdown. This is where I was at the cafe. And then the dorsal vagal state, shutdown or freeze, that extreme fatigue, disconnection, numbness, brain fog, sense of freezing or feeling stuck. So our goal is to spend as much time as possible in that ventral vagal state where we feel safe, connected, socially engaged, clear-minded. But life doesn't always allow for that, right? And that's okay. The good news is we can learn to bring ourselves back to that. So what is the chemical cascade of trauma? And this is me, this is not a terminology, this is just me using this language. Is when our body is flooded with two hormones that are key chemicals for our body during stress. So I'm gonna bring a story about this person that I know, Mark. He told me that every time he would get called into his boss's office, he felt like he was about to be attacked. His heart would race, his palms would sweat, and he'd feel the urge to either argue or shut down. To be quite honest, Mark, I totally would relate to his story, with Mark's story. Not because I feel that I would attack or any of that, but I would feel sometimes, you know, if I feel confrontation, I feel like something's going to happen. So to Mark's story, this response has to do with cortisol and adrenaline. Remember how I said there are two hormones? Those two key chemicals that the body releases during stress. And that's what I was saying, the chemical cascade of trauma, because that's what I call it. Cortisol is that stress hormone. It increases our blood sugar. It suppresses our immune system. So it in turn suppresses our immunity. It affects our memory formation, and it can become chronically elevated if you are constantly under stress. So I'm going to put it in this perspective. Imagine that you're going to a store or you're going to a place. So imagine, and again, take care of yourself. And if this is too much, pause and come back. I'm not going to say anything morbid, but if this is triggering, please pause it. But try to visualize something scary, meaning like a robbery or something like that, so that you can actually, for perspective, understand how is it that you would think you would feel in a situation like that. Well, Annie, I mean, like a movie, if that were to happen, what would I do? I would be scared. I would be running. I would feel my heart racing. I would be moving quickly. Exactly. So why am I bringing this up right now? Because the reason why that would happen is because of these two hormones. Cortisol, the stress hormone, which increases the blood sugar, like I said, and the adrenaline hormone, which is the fight or flight hormone. It speeds up the heart rate, increases the alertness, it diverts the blood flow to our muscles, and it creates that muscle tension. And the reason why I ask you to think about an example of something scary is because I promise you that most of you thought of something that included you being scared, running for your life, palpitating heart, sweating, or things like that. And adrenaline helps you do that, because it contracts those muscles by diverting the blood muscles so that you can run. It creates muscle tension. It speeds up your heart rate. And these are the things that help you stay alive in the moment that you need it for survival. Now, the reason why I'm bringing all of this up and I'm making so much emphasis in this part of the podcast is for the following reason. These chemicals are essential for survival. Now, when we don't need them for survival, think about that example that I ask you to visualize. Imagine living your whole life 24/7 in a constant state like the one you're visualizing right now. Think about it. So if you're visualizing a robbery and you're running away from a robbery or being scared, imagine 24/7 being constantly scared like someone's going to hurt you. Running away from an earthquake, running away from a robber, running away, that constant fear. Your heart palpitating constantly 24/7. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. This is actually real. Because this is why these chemicals that are essential for survival also leave a lasting impact on our bodies if they are not released. Which means that when a person has stored in their body trauma, and unconsciously it's happening, but you cognitively, meaning you are not cognitively aware of it, your body, without you knowing, is going through that stress that you're imagining it, but you don't know that your body, behind the doors, behind curtains, your body's going through that thing you're visualizing. You just don't know it, which means it has increased blood sugar, the immune system is suppressed, it's affecting the memory, the heart rate is being speed up. So probably, I don't know if you or someone you know is constantly saying that they feel tired, that they're always sick, that they forget things, that they have concentration issues, that they are always anxious, that they're fatigued, that they have neck pain, that their shoulders, their jaw, all of these things, because they're in a constant fight or flight state. So that's the reason why. So imagine, again, you're driving on a rainy night and suddenly someone cuts you off and you have to slam on your brakes. Your heart is pounding and your body feels tense for a while after the danger has passed. However, If you don't release that stored tension, it can stay with you. Trauma is stored in both explicit memory, the stories we tell ourselves, and implicit memory, the sensations we feel. So the explicit memory, the stories we tell ourselves, conscious recollections can be shared verbally because we're telling it to ourselves. It may have gaps. It changes over time. But the implicit memory, those feelings, that's the body sensations, the emotional responses, the automatic reactions. And here's the kicker. They're often unconscious. So this is why certain sights, sounds, or smells can trigger strong reactions, because your body remembers even if you and your conscious mind doesn't. Going back to the cafe and my story, I was in line, I was checking my emails, I was on my phone, I wasn't even looking at the guy at the time. As the situation escalated, my body started reacting before I was aware of it, because my body remembered. Now, I've been in therapy for a while because I went through a divorce and I went through a marriage that was not the healthiest. And there was a lot of verbal hostility towards me. So when my body started listening and then I visually saw the mannerism and the anger and the gestures, the aggressive gestures of this guy. Again, like I said, sights, sounds, or smells can trigger strong reactions. That sight and the sounds trigger that memory of my past, and I went into fight or flight. In my case, I went into that sympathetic state of fight or flight. And that's why it's important to release it, because if not, it stays with us. And then I have all of those hormones, cortisol and adrenaline, rushing through my body, getting me sick. Because again, there's an amount of cortisol and adrenaline that our body can handle for situations of survival. But when it's 24/7, that's when it can hurt us, because our conscious mind doesn't know or remember, but our unconscious, it's happening there. So this is why when a lot of people say, Annie, but why do we need to talk about the past? Let's just leave the past in the past. Because like Mark's story, like my story, like Sarah's story, like stories that I've discussed today, and like other stories, when we don't treat it, something as simple as a coffee smell, a perfume smell, your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, someone talking to you critical. Listen, like an example, I've seen this a lot frequently. Partners are couples. When one person from the couple talks in a particular way or shares their feeling, if the other person had a critical upbringing or parents that were not present or were too critical, like I said, all they need is a partner to share their feelings, and they're going to take everything very defensive and may be hostile, or they may not be hostile, but if they're not hostile, they will take everything defensive and they will never have a conversation with their partner because they remain stunted emotionally because of what happened to them in their childhood. And this is trauma from their childhood that they're not aware of. Because sometimes, guys, what we don't see is that trauma is not just a car accident or an airplane crashing or things like we watch in the movies. It can be something in our childhood that we don't even know. But if we're reacting to criticism from others, we can have loss of employment because we can handle our bosses, or things like that with our peers, situations, social situations. It goes back to trauma, something that happened in our childhood. Situation, listen, I'm a mom and I see this. Situations where we can handle or we feel intimidated or we're being reactive to our kids, friends, or the school. Maybe we were bullied as kids, and I've seen this with parents. And it's not your fault. It's just a situation that presented itself in the past. So this is why it's important to always address those feelings that are so uncomfortable. And I understand they're very uncomfortable. But if we don't address them, the reactions are still happening. And the question is, do you know if the reactions are hurting people your kids, your husband, your wife? Are you losing relationships because of it? So that's why it's so important. So let's shift into practice. Here are two simple exercises you can do right now to reconnect with your body and tap into your ventral vagal state. These are practical exercises so that you can reclaim your body. This is not a cure. This is not a diagnosis. This podcast, like I said before, is purely educational. If this or anything like this resonates and you feel, oh my God, I think I went through something traumatic, the whole point is for you to then go seek help from a therapist or someone that can help you. There are a lot of modalities out there. You can get resources for them that can help you with trauma like EMDR. You can find all of that. But this is purely educational, and these tools can help you reclaim your body, relax, help you navigate the next step. So, two simple exercises you can do right now to reconnect. Body mapping exercise. So you notice your body's contact points where you're sitting or standing. You scan for tension areas, like slowly scan your toes, your legs, shoulders, jaw, hips. I don't know about you guys. I don't know why I have it here in my scapula. I always have it there. Other people feel it in their chest. So then track temperature changes. Warm, cool, neutral. How do you feel? Notice your breath. Is it shallow, deep, slow, fast? Feel the weight distribution in your body. Are you leaning forward, backwards, or are you balanced? Now, the second simple exercise. Your nervous system reset. Place one hand on your heart and apply gentle pressure. I'm doing it here with you as I'm telling you. Inhale four counts. Hold for four. And exhale for six. So once again, you place one hand in your heart, applying gentle pressure. You inhale for four counts. You hold for four and you exhale for six. And then you track how your body changed. Did you notice any shifts in temperature, relaxation, or breathing? How do you feel? And then repeat it until you feel a sense of settling, relax, connected. And this can help you. And write down journal your experiences. You can, if you're not a person that likes to write, which I get it, that happens to a lot of us, use your voice memo app or something, just record it. You can write it down, you can audio it so that you can track, and maybe you'll see some patterns developing that you can tell your clinician and you can figure out what's going on. Well, guys, that's a wrap on today's episode, friends. So we've explored how the body keeps score, how trauma is stored, and how you can shift back into safety. If today's episode resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member who's navigating trauma recovery. You never know who might need to hear it. Be sure to subscribe to the Unmask Your Mind podcast so you never miss an episode on mental wellness, family dynamics, and tools for thriving. And if you're looking for more resources, visit unmaskyourmind.com for free guides and practice videos. We also have information about trauma, neurodivergence, and soon a course on this topic. So take care and remember, your body is your ally. It's always working to protect you, even when it doesn't feel that way. See you next week.